You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Congressman Jerry Carl into the studio. Hello, Congressman.
I'm so glad to be able to put a face with a name. As many times as we've talked, now I can put a face with a name.
Yes.
And next time I see you.
In the studio.
Yeah,
very good. Because you're hot off of the heels of a series of town hall meetings, and you just left the Fairhope Civic Center.
Right.
Tell us how your town hall meetings go and what was a popular topic.
Normally, I try to, when folks are coming in, I try to greet them, and they'll ask you simple questions. And from those simple questions they're asking, I'll try to pick three topics that I want to speak on and what my views are. Here today, obviously, voter fraud was a huge one that folks coming in the door asked me to address. And what we have done or what we're going to do to make sure that our 2022 and our 2024 elections are secure. I think that's a very fair, valid question. So I keep really cautioning people, don't ask the federal government to fix the election system or they'll really mess it up. The congressmen argue on how to screw a lid back on a jar of mayonnaise. They'll mess it up if you put it on the federal side. So, our states are supposed to run the elections. They need to run the elections. So our states, we encourage them to go back and view the election laws that they have in place and make them where they're enforceable. That's the key. You can have a lot of laws on the books, but if they're not enforceable or if there's no repercussion for breaking that law, they're really useless laws. So state of Alabama has in 2020 election did an incredible job compared to so many other states. So I've used that as a vocal, and I've really pushed the idea of look at us. We had a great election, but most all of it boils down to one thing, is voter ID. And most people agree with that, whether you're Republican or Democrat. Although these states have been throwing fits like Georgia and Mississippi and Arizona and, of course, Texas, they're throwing fits, and what they're throwing fits over is primarily voter ID, which I don't understand that.
I don't either.
All those congressmen from Texas got on the plane yesterday. They're not congressmen. They're state legislators from Texas. They left Texas to keep from having to go in and vote on some of these election laws, but they had to show an ID to get on that plane. So it's kind of odd that it's okay to do it in some areas but not in other areas. I think our elections we in this country we've taken for granted because it's always been there. Look at Cuba. I was in Cuba about 4 years ago. I understand what they live under under a communist regime. It's a dictatorship. They get zero opportunities to vote. And here we vote on virtually everything. We're public. We like to talk about it, debate it, and I think that's real good. But I think people have gotten real comfortable with that. And a lot of these election laws that they're wanting to quote-unquote not change, there's some silly stuff in there. We got hit up here in Alabama. They wanted golf carts to take people to and from their cars to vote. And I thought, if somebody's not willing to walk a few feet to vote, why would we want to even put them in a cart? These election laws are very important, and that's what I was trying to explain to people. I think 2022 and 2024 will probably be our cleanest election because everybody in the world is going to be watching it from both sides, and it's going to be very visible. There'll be a lot leading up to those elections, so it'll probably be our best elections.
Do you have faith that all of the states are going to come together to adopt a cohesive election process?
No.
Then why not have the federal government legislate
that? Again, the federal government, if they do it, they will mess it up. And whoever's in office at the time, they will change it according to the way they want it. Mm. So right now it would be written for the Democrats. The Republicans take charge. They would. That's why it's so important. I tell people all the time, the most important people that you vote on in any election are your local elected officials. I'm talking school board. I'm talking county commission, city council, mayors, everything. Those locals are so important, especially your judges, because those judges you're electing here, chances are, will wind up moving up the, the chain and become Supreme Court judges in the state, if not in the federal system. So it's important that people get involved in local elections. And if you put it in the federal's hands, you'll never see another simple election. It'll get so complicated, everyone will give up.
We're seeing some of that now, especially
sure.
with the Democratic effort to change some of the voting processes on a federal level. Tell us about that recent effort.
Right. Well, they want to be able to mail in ballots. I've done a lot of traveling in my life, and I've done absentee ballots. I understand the value of them. I truly do. But, you know, I had to send in information as well as a photocopy of my driver's license upon the application for my actual voter card. So there's reasons, but what the Democrat Party wanted was just kind of carte blanche, where they could mail out to everyone, a voter's app. And that's just, it can't be that way. There's got to be some responsibility in these elections. We've got to have people that are willing to get out of their car and walk to vote. If you can't, bring a family member. We'll help. The mail-in ballots, again, I think there's a time and a place for it. The COVID was a perfect storm in this 2020 election. It truly was. So that was a reason not to come in, but it wasn't the reason not to come in. Mm-hmm. But when we've used that.
What are some other topics you heard from your Fairhope town hall or other area town halls you've been conducting?
Well, everyone's very worried about national security right now. They're looking at the buildup of the Chinese military, and that's an issue that, being on the Armed Service Committee, I feel comfortable talking about. I think our efforts and our money could be better spent trying to protect this country versus some of the social issues that we seem to be getting so entrenched in. On the Armed Service Committee right now, we're trying to get the Navy and the Air Force to ask for more money, and they won't ask for any more money. I know.
I'm looking at you with a puzzled face.
It's a strange world.
Why is that?
But the Biden administration has told them no more money. All that money is going towards the new green energy deal. So the politicians in the military are not asking for any money. And you've got Republicans and Democrats sitting on the Armed Service Committee saying, we've got more for you. We want to give you more. You know, you're losing 15 ships. We're losing 15 ships this year, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that is when you're talking about a fleet.
Out of commission?
Yes,
too
out
old.
Of commission.
Okay.
Right, too old, mechanically not good. So we will take, we're only replacing it with two. So our numbers are decreasing when they need to be increasing, but the Navy's telling us they don't need any more. So again, you'll see the Democrats and Republicans, this will be a bipartisan situation. We will come together, and we will probably, in the Senate is where it will get beefed up, but you'll see some money come back in there for the ships and airplanes, and beef that fleet up too. We have to.
And what about the infrastructure package? How many trillion is it up to now?
Depends on the day. You know, it started at 1.3 trillion. I'm sorry, it started at 3.2 trillion. It got down to 1.2 trillion. I think the Republicans' Senate has got a good plan from what I've seen. It's roughly $700 trillion. $700 billion.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that look. I'm getting too used to the trillion word. $700 billion, but that money's already borrowed. It's already out there. We haven't used it as COVID money, and we could actually use that in infrastructure. And throwing these big numbers around, everybody says, well, that's not much money. That is huge in the infrastructure field. Now, where it gets real small is when the green energy deal gets involved in it. And they're trying to move 50% of that over to greenhouse effect stuff, which I don't think anybody in their right mind would argue that the environment changes. And I use this as an example. We have I can take you up to Wilcox County, where 400-foot bluffs up there, you can pick oyster shells off the top of those bluffs.
Right.
But yet you can go down in the Gulf and go, I don't know how many miles out, it is 3 miles out, and we have a petrified forest out there. So there's been two extremes, and probably more extremes than that in the lifetime of this world that we can't track and can't follow. So there's always changes. There's always El Ninos. There's always a rainy season. So to spend that kind of money to try to turn things around, I think is just absolutely ridiculous. you can do it. You can do it if you do it slow and methodical. They're trying to do it all in one big energy package. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you where it's come back to bite them. Look at California. Governor Newsom yesterday came out, and he is lowering the environmental standards so they can crank back up some generating plants out there, because under the old rules that were in effect 2 days ago, they couldn't crank them back up for, because of environmental issues. But there's such a shortage of electricity out there that they're having to crank them up just to keep people from dying from heat strokes. So that's what I'm saying. When you try to shift it and change it too fast, you miss it. You missed it. Just like the water shortage out there. They don't have a water shortage in California. What they have is a water waste issue, because they dump a certain amount of their water directly into the Pacific out there to keep one single fish that no one has seen in years alive, particular type of fish. So we try to do the right thing, but on the environmental side. But I think this one, we're way overshooting it.
You might get tired of this question, but why can't we have just $2 billion of that big package for our bridge, the Bayway Bridge?
You're the first one to ask me that.
I'm sure.
It's not that simple. We are a heavy Republican state. We supported Trump about 70% of this state. Supported the Republican Party as a whole. So they're not going to be real quick to want to give us money. Now, with that said, you never know. I will not have access to it. And that's why I'm trying to tell people, don't get your hopes up. Don't think that somebody's going to write a check out of Washington, D.C. and have an instant bridge. It's not that simple. But, you know, stranger things than that have happened. Maybe we can get more. You know, maybe we can. At this point, I have no idea.
Okay. What about what we hear or see on the news and social media, that this infrastructure package of that however many trillion dollars it is, 5 or 9%, is actually going to infrastructure? Is that true?
It's less than 50%.
Okay.
It's less than 50%. Now, that's the Republican version. The Democrat version, I want to say it was closer to 6%. I think you're right on that number. But the Democrat, which I keep in the, they've got a war going in the Democrat Party right now, because the extreme progressives, they want all 3-point-something trillion, because they want all their energy deals financed, where the president has brought his down to 1.3 trillion, I think was the last number I saw. But he's still got to make a deal with the Senate to get that through. So it's gotten smaller and smaller.
A faction in the Democratic Party might be good for the Republican edge.
Well, it's good for the taxpayers. It's good for the taxpayers. No one's going to benefit from the stuff they're talking about. You know, you're talking about putting up windmills. You're talking about solar. I'm not against any of that. But what happens when the wind quits blowing? What happens when the sun quits shining? What do you do at night? You're talking about a huge battery stock if you're going to store up enough energy to drive District 1 at nighttime. It's just, under today's technology, it's impossible to do.
Not to mention
it's physically
here.
Physically impossible.
Not to mention with, 30 days of rain in a row and cloudy skies.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're talking about doing away with all fossil fuel. I want to know, by 2035, I want to know how you're going to replace the entire fleet of Navy and all the airplanes that the military's got, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, all of them. How are you going to replace those between now and 2035? Physically impossible.
Okay. We're speaking with Congressman Jerry Carl here on WABF. What about Border Patrol and national security? What's the latest in that department?
We have shamed the president so much. We tried to do this early on in a nice way, in a constructive way. When he canceled the President Trump's wall that he had put in place, it was working. It was working. Everything was coming together. Most people view that just as a wall, but there was a huge amount of technology there, because what you had there, you had fiber optics that would tie together. It was vibration as well as sight. And so if someone was climbing over the wall, or the vibration would be picked up by someone down the chain, and they could send somebody to it and intercept it. The wall's 30 foot high, 6 foot in the ground. All concreted. Yes, can people get under it or over it? Of course they can, but not like we see what's going on right now. So I went down there 2 months ago, and I got to spend a couple of days with the Border Patrol, and I actually rode around with them, and we talked about how to improve some stuff. I asked them at the end of 2 days, how do we fix it? And it's real simple. Finish the wall. Finish the wall where you can tie all that technology together. There's no holes, no gaps in the wall, and give them more money for people. Right now, they are so underfunded. They are so short of staff. You've got thousands crossing the border daily. A lot of these are families. A lot of these are legit people. 40 or 50 different countries. I was there and they had a group from Bulgaria, of all places, from Europe. Brazilians, lots of Brazilians. So you see a lot of these countries that are coming through there because the borders are wide open. But we can't get the president, we certainly can't get Harris to pay any attention to it. That is going to, in this next election, that's going to kill them. And I'll prove a point. You look at the Democrats in the state of Texas, they're beginning to turn on their own party arguing about that border security.
As it's affecting them more and more personally.
Oh, sure it is. Sure it is.
What about door-to-door vaccines and the latest with the COVID-19 and now the Delta variant?
Well, the COVID is going to... it's going to change, just like your flu shot. You don't get a flu shot this year and expect it to work next year 100%. It will a little bit, but it's going to mutate. It's going to change a little bit every year. It's just the cycle of germs. I got the shot. Most of my family got the shot. I have some family members that don't want the shot. I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. They go to door to door. I think is really evading. It is getting over in privacy that we don't need to. Now, I don't have to answer the question. That's the key. They come to my door, knock on the door, and ask me about it. I'd slam the door and go back to watching Fox News or whatever I'm doing. Don't have to answer it. Mm-hmm. I think that's where what people need to understand. But I think it's a waste of taxpayers' money to go door to door. Some people will never get it. Some people will don't want it. Majority of my staff that are in the childbearing years, they're fearful of it. They don't want to get it. You know, at my age, I mean, what's it going to do? Knock a couple of years off my life? I don't know. But for me, it was more about getting rid of the mask, getting back out in public, feeling better about going around aging people that are older than me, that are more susceptible. I know I can't give it to them, so I have the freedom to do that. But I don't think the president, I know he talked about going door to door. I can't see how in the world he's going to be able to pull that off without just destroying the Democrat Party. Because if you think about it, the majority of the folks that are anti-vaccine are actually the black community. They don't trust the Tuskegee. They're really afraid it's going to be another Tuskegee experiment, which I don't agree with that. But, you know, you can't change what people think. So it's really going to infuriate the base, which is predominantly Democrat, as we well know. So I just don't see him being able to do that. I think that was just Biden rambling, to be quite honest.
This is WABF. We're speaking with Congressman Jerry Carl. Congressman, you represent Mobile and Baldwin counties?
Mobile, Baldwin County, Escambia County, Monroe County, Washington County, and a little bit of Clark County,
I'm proud to say. You're a busy man.
It is.
We're recording after his Fairhope Town Hall meeting here on Tuesday, July 13th. What is going on? You mentioned earlier something about a Born Alive bill.
We did. Born Alive, it has got nothing to do with Roe versus the Abortion Act. What it has to do with is when children are aborted, if they are alive, what this bill just simply said was we would do everything we could do to keep that child alive. Under today's conditions, what they do is let the child die on its own on the table, or they actually crush his head or pinch it in some way to speed the process up. So that's the only two ways of doing it. So what we said is if a child was born alive on this bill, we would do everything we could do to keep it alive. We could not get a single Democrat to vote for that. Had nothing to do with abortion rights. Had everything to do with that child's life. And I think that speaks volumes for this country and where we're at. We're talking about a live human being at that point.
What about the investigation into the January 6th Capitol incident? I know they call it a riot, but I'm not. What is the latest?
I was there. I was there.
Do you consider it to be a riot?
I think there were probably a handful of bad actors there, but I think 99.9% of the people were just curious spectators. They were excited. We had several groups from Mobile and Baldwin County that were there. And I talked to them after the fact. Most of them left right after Trump's speech because, you know, just the facilities weren't set up. So they literally got back on their bus and left before you know, the damage. But I'm not real convinced that was just Trump supporters stirring that up. But that's just my opinion.
The investigation.
Okay.
It's so not a nonpartisan.
Not at all. And this is the reason why. I would not vote for it. And most Republicans did not. I think there were a handful that voted for it. There are four agencies that are investigating that incident today. Four. FBI. I can't name them all, but all these different groups that are investigating. What do you think a bunch of congressmen are going to find out different other than whatever they want to create? So, it's just something Nancy Pelosi can keep that day alive as long as she can, because they're going to need it in 2022, because they're fisting to get stomped on, and they know it. So they're trying to keep it alive. So I'm not willing to get involved in an investigation that's going to do nothing but just stir up more hate and more, because we've already got four different federal agencies looking at it now. Again, what could a handful of congressmen do different?
And on to another popular topic is our Second Amendment rights. Has there been any late news lately concerning our gun rights or gun control or Second Amendment rights at all?
Well, obviously, every time there's quote-unquote a mass killing of some type, I guess that qualifies as two or more. I don't know what the definition truly is. You know, they want to start talking and screaming about, gun control. The only control I'm interested in is which way the muzzle's pointing. I enjoy my guns. I've raised my family hunting. I'm a big advocate for that, and also an advocate for responsibility of those guns too. So don't take away from that. But I think the Democrats are going to have a hard time getting, especially some of the House members. Keep in mind they're only five votes that separate the Republicans from the Democrats. And they're going to have a hard time keeping all the Democrats to vote against gun rights, because I know of at least one Democrat congressman that showed me a picture of the back of his truck where he had an AK-47 stenciled on the back of it. And I'm thinking, well, that's one of five. Start chipping away.
Right.
But a lot of these Democrats are avid hunters, and they want their guns, and they understand the sportsman side of it, and they also understand the responsibility side of it. You know, we want to blame guns for so many of these shootings. Reality, I mean, that's like having an arsonist, someone that loves to set fires, and blaming the matches. It doesn't happen that way. So, you know, be responsible for your gun. Be responsible for your matches.
Remember when we were in high school, a lot of the senior boys had their rifle shotgun in the gun rack in the back of the truck.
Sitting in the parking lot of the school.
Nobody ever thought a thing about it.
Never thought a thing.
And before we run out of time, I know you have another date to make here, engagement today. Do you envision in 2022 to narrow that five-vote gap so that the Republicans will be in control?
We have 57 Democrat seats today that we have targeting. That's 57 we're going to go after. And the chances are we're going to wind up, this is just my little crystal ball, I think we'll wind up with 50% of that. We've got to work for it. It's not going to just happen. So I think we will wind up with 20, 25 seats. So that'll put us about a 20-point head, and we have to keep what we've got. We've got to keep our folks in place, and that's probably not going to happen simply because people like to change their House members. That's okay. I'm good with that. So it happens sometime, but I look for us to have about a 20-plus-point spread when it's all said and done. But it's not going to happen without a lot of work.
former President Trump is making appearances again with that same goal for 2020. Do you think he'll run again?
You know, I don't know. Everybody keeps asking me that. I think 3 years down the road is a long time. Mm-hmm. In the political world, that is a long time. I think Trump is doing the right thing by keeping his name out there and staying active in politics. He's the strongest political person we have in the nation right now. He certainly can pull the strings, and he certainly got the network set up. So I think it's just so far out. I hate to say yes, I think he's going to run. If today was the day, I'm sure he would run. But 3 years out, that's a long ways out.
And finally, you said we need to retain the Republican seats. You plan on retaining yours and running again,
correct? Of course I am. Okay. Yes, of course I will be. No doubt about that.
Very good. Any parting thoughts, Congressman? I know we're just about out of time.
No, but I don't give up on our government. And please, your local government, everyone get involved in that in some way. Your school systems, your school boards, get involved. We need more people expressing their opinions, and it keeps people like myself on our toes. We understand that people are watching when you do that. So thank you for time on the air, and God bless America.
Thank you very much, Congressman Jerry Carl.